Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 655 of Flow Wrestling Radio Live. I'm your host, Christian Piles, joined today by JD Raider, Oliver Stone, and Ben Funky Askren. How are we doing, boys?
Doing good.
Doing good.
Doing pretty well.
All right. I don't know who's doing the best, but probably Ben.
Medium.
Ben, what's the give us a quick groundhog situation update?
Oh, I got a trapper coming out today. Set some traps. I had some cameras set the other day. So hopefully we'll have some groundhogs caught within a couple days here.
Okay, and are you gonna eliminate them or just move them?
Don't worry about what I'm gonna do with the groundhogs.
Don't ask questions you don't want to know the answer to.
Yep, absolutely. Okay. I say Aussie to gymnastics. I don't know why my wife signs our kids up under. I coach 5-year-old wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Now let me tell you this: we separated our 5-year-olds this year from our 6 and 7s because they're that much of a distraction.
The biters and the non-biters.
We had 3 coaches for say between. We had like 12 signed up, so maybe 7 to 10 showed up every day. It still wasn't enough. You can't get 5-year-olds to do nothing.
Listen, they're like bugs at that point. They're just going to what's bright or what's happening over here.
Yes.
There's no focus. All you can do is hopefully keep them inside the building. That's the best you can do.
In this game, you have to stay on your knees. And then all of a sudden, 4 are running around. And you're like, well, no. There's only one rule. You only have to stay on your knees. And then they just start running around.
It's hilarious.
But so Ozzy's 3, and I take him to gymnastics, and it's like kind of eye roll.
Yeah. Is his name's Ozzy Man Strong Boy? Is that what he calls himself?
That's what he has made up a name for himself, and he calls himself that all the time. Like, if you ask him,
that's a great name, man.
Ozzy Man Strong Boy. That's pretty freaking great. So, yeah, 3-year-old gymnastics. That's not, I don't know.
Outstanding.
Yeah, I like to see some video footage of that. Just imagine him.
Oh, it's not a lot exciting.
Okay, so we got some people on the move, some big news. Jordan Oliver to the NYCRTC, a new home for him, leaving the Tar Heel Wrestling Club. And, you know, with J.O., he is certainly the most traveled senior-level guy I can think of, right? You know, from Oklahoma State to Arizona State to Cornell, UNC, now NYCRTC. And I think the move... Some people are just like that. They want to be, you know, all right, I'll go here for a little bit, learn for a little bit, go to the next thing. People like movement and change in their life. I think J.O. is probably just one of those kinds of guys. And, you know, as he's moved, he has improved and done well. And I get the move because I understand why he's probably thinking, I want to continue to compete, right? You know, you finally made the team or – you know, won the spot, at least, you could say. And, coaching will always be there, and the opportunities for Jordan will always be there for coaching. And, you know, an opportunity to go and train with Kendall Cross, who I'm sure is someone he's admired from being an Oklahoma State Cowboy and Olympic champion. It makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I'm excited to see what progressions he can make there. And I'm sure he'll be missed at Tar Heel, but it seems like everyone's ending on good terms there, as he has left. He has left basically everywhere on good terms. So
yeah, but I don't think haven't ever seen anyone move this many times. It's I guess it would be kind of the first. I can't even think of any, you know, pre-RTC era. I can't really think of anyone else who did this similar thing. And I, you know, I guess he had his best season ever with qualifying for the Olympics. So, you know, there's something to be said for that. But you know, you said you can coach whenever or forever. But I always feel like if the guys don't get started, it's not like they're going to jump into a head coaching spot. They're going to probably have to work their way up the rung somewhere. So now you're starting that process very late.
True, and I don't know for a fact that J.O. is going to want to coach. Who knows what he's going to want to do? I can imagine he's going to want to coach. I remember, and actually, now that I think about it, I remember interviewing Jordan Burroughs, about it, and he was talking about J.O. and about how he was someone that he would love to coach with, and he's someone that whose brain he like picks a lot when he has like technical issues or questions or whatever. Like J.O. is just like a trusted resource. So maybe at some point they end up there. And, you know, location-wise, Pennsylvania RTC or whatever would make sense, being that Jordan's from Easton, Pennsylvania. So who knows? I don't know what the plans are for Jordan. I doubt he knows fully what he wants to do. I remember in 2016, I was like, okay, this guy's going to go fight for sure, right? And
yeah,
He talked a lot about it, but I don't know if that interest has waned. You would probably say it's not too late for him to get into it, Ben, but I don't know why.
Pretty late.
Yeah, okay, so you would say so.
Yeah.
If you want to reach the pinnacle of fighting, it's pretty late.
Yeah.
Well, DC joined pretty late, but I would say he's more of an exception to the rule than the rule.
I wonder if you're an upper weight, is it a little different?
Definitely easier, yeah. Yeah, the age of the upper weights is significantly older than lower and middle. The other thing I think about is it takes time to start making money. No one starts making money on day one.
Yeah.
And to earn those upper images, just like coaching kind of, right? You got to work your way up. And then once you get to those paychecks, you never kind of go back down. But if it's going to take him 2, 3, 4 years to get there, once he, you know, actually starts having fights, then we're talking, he's pretty old by then.
Yeah. That makes sense. I hope he just, I kind of, you, everyone knows if you listen to the show, I kind of selfishly want everyone to stay in wrestling. Just because I don't have that much interest in fighting. So I'm hopeful that that's similar for J.O., but I'm sure he'll have a lot of options. So that's notable. And I think J.D. mentioned this morning, we never really talked about the Jaden Cox to the NJRTC and also
NJRTC and NYCRTC.
Joining forces, saying bye Felicia to the Scarlet Knight Wrestling Club. That was kind of like the merger.
What's up with that? We never did talk about that. What happened?
Well, I don't. It's speculation at this point. I'm not sure what happened. That, you know, they had all this, you know, all the good vibes between basically Princeton's RTC and the Rutgers RTC, and they were working together, and there was synergy there. And the first time I noticed a distinction was when Miles Martin announced he was Scarlet Knight Wrestling Club, which was nine. So I don't know if that precipitated the change or if the change happened prior to Miles joining. But either way, it appears that the Rutgers-Princeton thing is no longer a thing with NJRTC joining NYCRTC.
Yeah, I
don't understand.
But Rutgers and Princeton are, I mean, they're pretty close together, so they're about 20 miles roughly. And then to New York City is 51 miles, which obviously with that traffic can take quite a long time sometimes. So, I don't know. It feels like Rutgers was the one that made quite a bit more sense than the NYC and because you're kind of skipping over Rutgers. You're going past Rutgers to go to New York City.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that what led to the, you know, separation there, but it is notable, and NYC RTC continues to invest in wrestling, which is great. So, but Jaden, and I don't know how much time Jaden's going to spend there. Kevin Jackson's his coach, so how much time is he going to be?
How much time did he spend in Ohio?
Oh, very little.
Yeah.
That was weird.
I agree.
Well, this is weird, too, because it's not like he's going to be really a resident athlete.
Yeah. I think people just want to attach Jaden Cox to their program.
Which is not a terrible idea, you know, attract maybe some other people and show your best or whatever, but yeah.
Jaden Cox in Floor Wrestling RTC.
It's funny because they say right up front that he's not going to be here all that much. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Well, both these things confuse me a little bit because it's like, yeah, Jaden's not obviously not going to be training full time in New York City or even a decent amount probably. And also, like, are the NJRTC and NYCRTC, like, gonna meet each other in the middle weekly? Or is it just like, we will occasionally have a camp together? Like, that thing. You can just do that without, like, announcing we're now together. Like, I really don't think they're gonna be joining forces and regularly training together.
Yeah, if it was twice a week, that drive is gonna suck. No one's gonna wanna do that twice a week. So yeah, I mean, to your point, it's not going to be all that much. And yes, other people do get together and work together. Yeah. So I'm very curious what that's actually going to look like in practice. The other thing I was just looking at, New Jersey's kind of becoming our, Dagestan, Mahachkala, Ossetia, because we got the PRTC, the NJRTC and the NYCRTC all within like 100-mile stretch along, I-95.
Yeah. And Scarlet Knight.
Answer right there. Yes.
Yeah.
Boom.
Beast Coast, they call it.
That is what they call it.
So,
really? Are you serious?
No, they don't call it that.
What, Beast Coast?
I mean, people do call it that. It's not like
you've never heard it called Beast Coast?
Never, yeah. Ever. In my life.
Then, yeah, you got to start listening to some 90s rap, then, my friend.
Yeah.
I love 90s rap. That's my favorite genre.
You should listen to the East Coast 90s rap then.
Yeah.
I did, like, Notorious B.I.G. I never heard him called the Beast Coast.
Have you ever listened to the Beast Coast Boys? They're a rap group from New York City.
No.
Okay, they're pretty good. Ollie, they slap, don't they?
Oh, they slap hard.
Yeah.
You guys are messing with me right now. That's not a rap group.
Get on your Spotify and look up the Beast Coast Boys.
Oh, you guys are effing with me.
All right. Well, just see if they're there.
I'm looking at it right now.
That's great. Okay. Other news.
Real.
Austin Gomez to Wisconsin. This is big. He's going to go 141 for the Badgers. He fits nicely for them. Exciting move there. As they Bono's done a good job with the transfer portal. Now he's losing Evan, but he's been able to bring in some quality guys, Weiler, Sebastian. Obviously, Seth Gross was a pretty big one. So,
McNally.
And McNally. That's right. I knew there was one I was missing. So, good get for the Badgers. And I'm just really excited to see Austin Gomez competing again. It's just a fun guy to watch.
So he, you can medically unretire? Because I thought once you medically retired, you couldn't unmedically retire. Is that what happened?
Well, maybe he didn't go through the formal...
Oh, the full process.
Yeah, maybe he just, like, said it. Because it's like bankruptcy. You can't just declare it.
Yeah, what, like, I was, you put it on Instagram posting, it's college eligibility if you haven't competed all your years or whatever.
Well,
yeah. I was thinking from the university's perspective, if someone says, I'm medically retired, I can't compete, you pay me for college because the college at that point doesn't pay for you. And then you come back and undo it. They're like, wait, why did we pay for you to go to college? And you said you couldn't do it, and now you're doing it.
Well, Michael Jordan unretired. Why can't Austin Gomez?
There you go. Boom.
Two Illinois legends. Yes, I know Michael Jordan's from North Carolina. Okay, so that's big.
Born in New York.
Was he really?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure?
Google it. Yeah, come on, Google.
Man, they must have just been on like a vacation.
You couldn't find, I mean, you were just finding the Beast Coast Boys. Go ahead and find.
I never heard of them.
I did not know it was a real group. I'm going to be honest, Ben. I made them up.
It's a rap group, too. You want to hear about it? Their genre is hip hop. They're from The part of their group is the Flatbush Zombies. Also, I think that's one of their songs or something. They're all
Wait a minute. Okay. No. It's not the Beast Coast Boys.
Beast Coast is an American hip hop collective and supergroup from Brooklyn, New York, formed in 2012 by Pro Era, Flatbush Zombies, and the Underachievers.
Pro Era is Joey Badass's label and music group. Flatbush Zombies, a rap group out of Brooklyn. Beast Coast is them merging together. It's not the Beast Coast Boys. I thought CP was doing like a funny play on the Beast Coast Boys. But it was pretty close. I'm surprised I didn't think of it. But yeah, they're not 90s rap, but you might like them. Go ahead and bump Beast Coast.
Yeah. Let's go. Beast
Coast, baby.
And Google right here. Michael Jeffrey Jordan was born in Brooklyn, New York on February 17th, 1963.
Is Brooklyn in New York?
Come on, forget about it.
I watched the Rob Cole interview on the Bader Show yesterday.
Me
very
too,
good,
yeah.
Very, very insightful. I kind of forgot about Troy Nickerson as another one. I don't think we mentioned him on the coaching tree. Rob Cole's coaching tree is very impressive. I know it's a couple of years I was looking through the rosters, like every assistant coach he had is now a head coach somewhere. So
yeah.
Shiflett was the head coach also at both Hofstra and UNCG. Nickerson would have been, I don't want to say a good choice for the job also, besides Mike Gray, right? But if they were to open it up, I feel like Nickerson is doing a really good job at UNCG and obviously was a Cornell legend, so could have went back home.
Yes. So lots of I mean, well, why don't we get to that interview? Because there were a lot of takeaways. I thought it was great. If you haven't listened to it, it's on the Bader Show. Check it out. I feel like Coach Cole, there was just an element of just extreme frustration with, I think, the Ivy Cornell mindset in a way. Yeah, when you're a high-level coach and who's in athletics – when you feel like your institution is not that, you know, he even mentioned like it feels like in some of the Ivy Leagues, like they almost hide that they have sports. It's almost like that's looked down on. Whereas like with Stanford, it's something that, you know, it's a focal point of the institution.
Source of pride.
Yeah, it's a source of pride. And they have all this academic excellence. So I feel like over time in 32 years there, I think he just got a little tired than that. He had a couple really cool lines. I mean, Coach Cole is probably, I would say he's the most candid Division I coach that we have in interviews, which I always, and of course you guys probably really appreciate as well. But he said he believes that Stanford can have a better RTC than Nittany Lion Wrestling Club.
That's a big statement.
It's a big statement. But he really believes it. And who... When you see what he took Cornell from to what they became, how can you say, oh, this, you can't dismiss that statement after his track record.
Go ahead. And the Spartan RTC or Cornell RTC, whatever you want to call it these days. They were right there, right? They were probably, I'd say, top three, top four. If we just go RTC programs, I mean, Nittany Lion's number one right now, very clearly. But then, you know, Michigan's pretty good. There's a few other ones, but Spartan RTC is really close.
Well, yeah, when you just roll out, well, Nishan was gone, but Vito, Yanni, Dake, Gabe for a little while. There's a really solid crew. So that was interesting. Another thing he said, apparently Coach Cole really loves recruiting, but he also said, if you're a head coach and you're not recruiting, you're just lazy, which is interesting because there are some programs that have that delegation, like, okay, this coach is our recruiter and he's like an assistant or whatever. And like, he's the main like tip of the spear recruiter guy. Not that the other head coaches aren't involved, but it was notable that, and you know, it does happen that the head coach is not integrally involved in recruiting. And it was, I thought it was interesting to hear him basically call that out and be like, yo, if you're not recruiting, you're just being lazy.
Yeah. I mean, but I don't even feel like that's like debatable. I feel like it's just like some coaches just really don't want to do that. And your ability as a head coach is to delegate. And if you think that you being in the room, obviously you being in the room is probably for most of them, the most enjoyable part of the job. Like they enjoy that the most because they enjoy wrestling. But yeah, I mean, I feel like it's, there's some very notable ones that say, hey, you're my head assistant. You go do all the leg work and then bring me in for the final meeting or the final home visit or whatever you need me for type of stuff. I feel like that's like, I don't want to say normal, but that happens a lot.
Yes. Yes. So I thought that was an interesting call. He just, what he kept going back to is he just sees a ton of potential in Stanford and what they can become, because what it combines, and it's funny because he's already got his like plan of attack, because Bader asked him about facilities. What's he going to do? He's like, first thing, I think, I'm trying to say the word, he's like, first thing we need to do, we need to get the 9.9 scholarships. We need to get that endowed. Then we need to endow the coaching staff positions, and then we need to do this, and then so like he has like the order of priority. He's already like prioritized the things he needs to do first, so it's kind of cool to see the plan. But one thing he mentioned was he's excited about getting to play around with scholarships, but that Stanford also has incredible financial aid, which financial aid is this it's one thing it's not often brought up about. You know, it's often just said, oh, Ivy League doesn't have scholarships. And it's just kind of like, no. But they have so much to play. A lot of the Ivies have a huge, I guess I would say, advantage with financial aid. Or it's one of the, it's, I won't say it's an advantage. It's one thing that offsets the fact that they don't have the athletic scholarships, is that they have such good need-based financial aid that they can get a lot of guys in the school and on extreme discounts, if not free, with their financial aid programs.
Well, that's why Cornell had a leg up kind of on a lot of the Ivy schools, is that Rob Cole found a way to utilize that.
Yes, and get them in.
Yeah. Kids in that maybe wouldn't be able to get into some of the other Ivy schools, you know, and they could send them to Finger Lakes for a year, get a GPA, and
here's my thing, though. Here's my whole thing about this. Now, maybe I'm wrong here. But the whole, oh, they found this side door or whatever you want to call the finger, the, TC3 community college thing that got them into Cornell.
Side door. We got side doors coming
well,
out.
Well, I have side doors.
Don't side door it now.
It's not a side door.
It means that's something else.
It's the front door.
Side door's cheating. Side door's cheating.
Okay. This is not cheating. All right.
It's
what
like
I'm going to say
is the second
door
on the front of the house.
Listen, if you got a guy that he is struggling academically, it doesn't meet the standard, if he goes through the community college and gets into Cornell, there's no hand-holding there. These are legitimate students that have to go through an Ivy League education. So the idea that they're getting these guys into school that have, you know, that don't belong there.
It's not a North Carolina football situation.
No! You're going to Cornell, so it's like, okay, maybe you wouldn't have met the initial standard to get in. But the thing that people, I think, that don't bring up, they still have to, the whole point is that they go to Cornell as students for 4 years. Like, you have to be smart to do that. I'm almost positive. So, whether it's a community
Andy
college.
Andy Bernard graduated.
4 years, didn't study for, didn't study once, was drunk the whole time.
Got straight B's, call me Buzz.
all while leading an a cappella group. Okay, so you know what? And maybe it's because his dad built a couple buildings, but that doesn't matter. Great reference there, Ben. But yeah, I don't know. I just so, people kind of like poo-poo the TC3 situation. Cornell's like, well, they still go to Cornell.
Yeah. So I would have, We actually haven't brought up the scholarship issue yet. I mean, so Rob Cole's been doing this without scholarships, and yeah, he did find a relatively productive way to
creative.
A relative productive way to get the kids he wanted to get into school into Cornell. But, you know, without Rob Cole finding those, I'm not gonna call them side doors. They're not side doors.
No.
Without Rob Cole finding those extra avenues to get kids in, obviously it could be a lot more difficult. And yes, they do go to all the way through Cornell. That being said, I don't think he's going to have any side doors at Stanford, but he is going to have scholarships. And so that the financial aid packages, they help, but there is still – so if you guys don't know how those work, I know you guys do, but I'm not sure all of our audience
right.
does.
No, definitely explain.
Okay. It's expensive to go to Cornell, very expensive. If you make no money, you can get quite a bit of money to go to Cornell. If you're really rich, it's not a big deal to go to Cornell. But if you're somewhere in that middle zone where your parents make like a pretty good amount of money, you know, say if your parents are making $200,000 a year combined, like that they're pretty well upper middle class likely. But Cornell costs like 50 to 55 grand. So it's like not easy for them to afford still, especially if you have other siblings in college and you're not going to be getting financial aid. So there is a strata there of kids that you're probably not going to get or going to have a very hard time getting because of the financials.
You know what's crazy about that? And I only had this realization yesterday because I'm an idiot. But the stupid thing about the need-based financial aid assumes that your parents are paying for your college, which that is not the case for many people. So they really should base it on how much money you have, which for basically all college kids would be $0, right?
Well, I suppose you could declare independence from your parents at age 18 or something, and then you'd be poor.
Okay, that would be really smart. Why wouldn't you do that? Just emancipate, and then you have no money.
Well, then maybe you're not on their medical insurance anymore. Maybe Rob Cole has people
emancipating and no one talks about it. Yeah, but they could gift you non-taxable. They could gift you up to $15,000, which would be
certainly enough
to pay for somebody insurance. Watch Shawshank Redemption here. Yeah, you just pulled that line from when Andy almost gets pulled off the roof.
What? I don't remember
who?
That.
Piles or me?
You. The $15,000 gift? You guys don't remember that part?
This is a way to give your family money that's not taxable to them. Come on.
But it's only one you time. Gotta
know, no, it's not. It's yearly.
You sure?
You got. I mean, only your family. This, we're not your friends. Ollie, I'm not giving you $15,000 a year, but your friends you cannot. They would have to pay taxes, but your family you can yearly.
Oh, but if I was family, you would give me the 15 grand.
No.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Sort of a stupid thing.
So listen, we're on Rob Cole's level because me and you, Christian, we're thinking more side door ways to get people into Cornell.
Yeah, not side door. The wrong word. Well, side door is cheating.
I think that might be side door if we made them emancipate from their parents.
That's side door. That's crossing the line of side door.
Yeah, what?
That kind of feels like side door.
These kids should emancipate. I'm gonna have Caleb emancipate so he can get better financial aid.
Yeah.
Not that we're exactly rolling in it, but, you know, maybe it'll help. Okay. Also, is there anything else we want to talk about? We can always bounce back to Rob Cole, but any other thoughts?
Who his assistants are? It sounded like he was going to be announcing them relatively quickly.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I'm super curious. He said he was on the East Coast in a compound, and he said he wasn't going to leave till he had his staff or at least this one person
so
signed on.
Someone came up in the middle of the interview. Who was that? I couldn't see because I had my phone down and I heard it. And then by the time I looked up, the screen was covered. Do you know who it was?
I believe it was Mr. Galli.
Oh.
Which I don't know why it would be a big secret that he would be there. Nor do I know where he lives. So maybe it means something else. But Joe Galli is his first name. I forgot. Yes. So I don't know. Maybe it's not him. But I'm not sure where he's looking or who he's... trying to get.
Did you guys hear anything about the Nolf rumors that I was talking about yesterday?
Well, yeah, I had heard them before. I don't think he's going, personally.
No, I don't think he will.
I think there's a better shot that Chinzo would go, but we will see.
Someone from Penn State's going to start going somewhere because there's not enough room for them all to coach at Penn State.
The mats kinda are like only so big. They can only fit so many people on the mats.
No. Coaching, Christian, jobs. They're gonna need jobs eventually. They cannot wrestle forever.
They're running out of space, Ben. There's a space crisis.
You're making light of what I'm trying to bring up as a valid point here, and I don't.
It
know
is
why.
A very valid point. There is not. I mean, Kale. I mean, Cody,
Kale
Casey.
Sanderson's coaching tree right now. What is Kale Sanderson's coaching tree right now? We talk about Rob Poles. Tell me, Kale's. And nothing. It ain't got no branches. It's just a big straight pole.
Frank Molinaro.
He's not head coach. No, head coaches.
Oh.
Head coach.
No head coach. That's part of the thing. Don't let
it's
any
gonna
of these...
be. I mean, it's gonna ha-
part
listen,
of Kale's greatness.
Is gonna,
yeah, it's like no, sprout. I'm not gonna have
don't
a trade
of Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Kale's tree is gonna sprout some branches at some point in time. So, you know, these people, these elite athletes will start dispersing at some point.
Well, maybe. I mean, what if not? I mean, what if What if, think about this. What if Kale, Cody, Casey, and Jake Vaughn are just run it for the next decade and change? What if David Taylor says, you know what? I'm an Olympic champion. I won all these world titles. I'm just going to coach my club and do something else. And
you might do that.
Okay. So,
but there's more. What about Zayn and Nolf and Nickel and who am I forgetting? Chenzo. I guess Mark Hall. He's already gone.
Both going to MMA.
I'm sure there's more really good people that I'm forgetting about. That was just the first ones that came to the top of my head.
Yeah.
They all become assistants under Kale.
You
already picked their assistants. There's only so many jobs. This was the point I was bringing up.
They all become volunteer assistants.
Volunteer assistants in the truest sense of the word. No, you're right.
And Kale adopts them and then gifts them the money, non-taxable to them.
And then they claim independence. They're broke. They can get back into Stanford and Cornell.
Oh, okay.
Full circle.
Yeah. So I don't know. You're right. At some point, these guys are going to start coaching elsewhere because there's not going to be any vacancies at Penn State anytime soon. I mean, Cody, yeah. Casey, Kale, I just don't see any scenario where they leave, because if they were going to leave, they would have left, because they certainly could have and had myriad opportunities. Varner, maybe I'm sure his name might have been on the short list at one point for the Stanford job, and that would have been an interesting – he'd have been an interesting guy to look at given his credentials. He's from California.
And that's where – you know, with again, we circle back to the Oliver conversation. It's like he's fourth man on the totem pole, right? So he's the last one of those four that we mentioned. I feel like all college administrators want to see people take on some more of those roles, at least like that associate head coach or head assistant, where they're taking on more of the I don't know, logistical burdens before they appoint them head coach, because there is a big difference between a guy who's the fourth coach and they're in the room and they're helping guys out, and the guy who's running the show, doing the recruiting, fundraising, everything else.
True. I would imagine and have heard that those guys all get opportunities to have little slices of – now, I don't know what that would be for Jake. As you said, he is the fourth coach there, but mm-hmm. I'm certain that Cody and Casey have had those opportunities to where they've really delved into – areas that is commonly head coaching. But yeah, for Jake, I don't know.
Yes. I'm sure Cody and Casey have for sure, but you know, I would say they would probably do a lot of that work, and that way Jake doesn't get too much of it. He's a more of an in the room type of guy. And so when you're talking about skipping to, you know, go be a head coach, I think usually administrators want to see Cody and Casey are incredibly valuable. Everyone would love to have them if they could.
Yeah.
Right? The jobs that open up.
Yeah, no question about it. Other transfer news, Nathan Traxler to Virginia Tech. So the Hokies get a big man. This works well for Virginia Tech. If I'm reading this correctly, my assumption is Traxler will go heavyweight next year. Katka will redshirt. John Borst has, I believe, moved on since graduating. And Traxler.
Oh, John Borst graduated already? Damn.
Yeah. That was fast. Yes. He wrestled our guy Ben Darmstadt in the Fargo finals some years ago. Ben's got like couple years left, and John's already moving on, it sounds like. So I don't think Traxler's going to go down to 197. I think he's too big. But
you're just scared right now.
I'm not scared. I think Andy Smith can hold him off.
You sound scared.
I'm not scared. I'm not scared. You know what? All I think, you know, I hear Nathan Traxler at Virginia Tech, I say, another good partner for Andy Smith. And that's where my mind is. But I think it's interesting with Traxler, and you know, the word was, hey, no one's going to transfer out of Stanford. Traxler was a rare circumstance in that he like had no, he could not take any more school. He could do no more school at Stanford. He was out of school.
What do you mean?
His post said 5 years and 2 degrees later.
Yes, he already has his master's. He's got his bachelor's. Because I talked with Coach Blake about it before, you know, when the program first got restored. Yeah. He said, I think they'll all stay. Nathan Traxler is the one exception. He literally can't. There's nothing else for him to.
He should have failed some classes or something. So
what's he gonna do at Virginia Tech?
Oh, I'm sure. There's myriad academic opportunities for
Dr. Trexler.
Dr.
He's
Trexler.
He's so smart that he's going to get his doctorate in 1 year.
Yes.
That would have been my move. You know, just knock it out.
Boom.
People make it take forever. Yeah. Now, I don't know what he'll do, but, you know, maybe he'll, maybe the plan is he goes there for 1 year. I mean, you can get a master's degree in a year, I guess. Especially.
Well, he already has a master's. You get another master's?
Double master's.
Double master's.
Or maybe he is. Yeah, maybe he's in PhD. I don't know. Maybe the next year he would stay and be in more of an RTC type of function.
Yeah.
I don't know. Definitely, but yeah. If Virginia Tech's lineup could be really salty next year, as we knew, even without Trexler, they were going to be tough. And I don't know if they're looking for any more transfers right now or not, but.
Who's not? Everyone loves the portal.
You gotta love it. Everyone loves the portal.
But
if you look at their starting,
we gotta finish talking about U23s because we only got to like 2 weight classes yesterday.
No, we got further than that.
We got three.
I thought we got to four.
We talked about 57, 61, and Ja'Cory Teemer. That's all we talked about.
We talked about 70 kg.
But I said Ja'Cory Teemer. We talked.
You're
about
right. That was the story at 70 kg. So you're right there, but. And that's three solid weight classes, you know.
I feel it. Okay, let's
we going let's to go that?
There. Yeah,
let's dive
go.
Back in.
I actually sort of forgot.
You forgot? Okay. So we talked about 57. We talked about 61. 65 is where we were at. We did not talk about that at all, which Dom Demas won very convincingly. But Lawrence Sands, man, I think he was a story. He beat Alan Hart. Second round, and he beat Chad Red third round. And Chad Red did – who's the guy we said didn't train yesterday? Cause I don't know if Chad Red trained for this one because he went 1-2.
Mikal McGee, you said
– Yes.
And he said didn't train.
Yes. Chad Red went 1-2. He got tech followed by Josh Saunders on the backside.
JD, what can you tell us about Lawrence Sands?
Not much.
Okay.
I thought he made NCAAs this year. I'll look it up right now. He's a Cal Poly guy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he would definitely was a standout in this tournament.
He was only 4-4 this year, so maybe I'm wrong. He wouldn't no. He did not make the NCAAs. He lost to Real Woods, he beat Connor Ward, and then he lost to Martinoni.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah. He was a national qualifier for Fresno State in 2020.
No, I'm looking at his profile right now. It says 2020. Maybe he didn't wrestle in it. Okay, there's no match there. He went 2-3 at the Big 12s. Does 2-3 make you a national qualifier?
It could.
Potentially.
Apparently did. It did in his case.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay.
So where are we at? 74 right now.
Oh, so then we're skipping over Dom Demas.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I had it in my mind. We did 70, so now we're on 74. But yeah, you're right. Yeah, Dom Demas.
Sammy Alvarez did not go 61.
Oh,
he did go 65.
Yeah,
yeah. It didn't make any sense. Like you can't make the
That's who and Dom kind of put it on him in the semis.
Definitely put it on him.
That's a tough matchup for Alvarez.
Yes.
Demas put it on basically everyone. He was...
Yeah, he was the heavy favorite going in. Any freestyle tournament, Demas is going to be up there in the talks of an age level national tournament. And with the field that was a little down, like no Jaden Ironman in it, he's going to be the heavy favorite.
Yeah, those two. Those two are mortal enemies at this point.
Dang. So Josh Saunders got decked first round.
He was up.
And then he won 9 in a row, though.
Well, Saunders was also up 9-0 and got stepped over on a gut and pinned.
What is up with the big red stepovers?
Wow.
It happened to Darmstadt, too.
Darmstadt got stepped over, too, Ben. Oh, do you know man. This?
Wait, listen to Josh Saunders. I'm not.
Curse of Gabe Dean.
He tech falls in 56 seconds. They tech fall Chad Red. Tech fall 50 seconds, minute 6, 4 minutes, 50 seconds. That was the NCAA qualifier, Saul Irvin. 42 seconds, 50 seconds. Tech fall Sammy Alvarez, and then tech fall Clay Carlson.
Sheesh.
Dang. Went savage mode.
He really did.
I mean, that's really impressive. Holy crap. That's
a, I mean, beating Alvarez and Carlson.
I have a theory about Saunders that when you expect him to do the worst is when he does his best, and when you expect him to do the best is when he does his worst. So then he loses in that first round or two, so you're like kind of count him out, and then he goes, doop.
Just when I thought right. I was out. Oh, and
Clay Carlson was an All-American this year. I forgot that. So he beat two All-Americans and two other NCAA qualifiers while tech falling nine people in a row.
And then Eddie Homrock gets the last laugh because he beat him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that is an insane run.
That's insane.
You can get those runs are a lot, I won't say less impressive, but they're easier to come by and freestyle when you don't have to be on the mat 7 minutes
like yes. in oh, yeah.
folk style where
right.
they're almost always a grind. It's pretty tough to get on a pinning streak on the backside, though it happens. So, yeah, 65. I mean, Saunders, one of the big stories there. Chad Redd losing and Dom Dimas making it happen as the prohibitive favorite. 70?
70, do we need to talk about anything else? Because I think the guy on the back table there, he thinks that the only story in the whole bracket is Jahori Teemer.
Well, I think there are some other notable results. Mahler beating Yahya Thomas is interesting. I don't know who I would have favored or picked, or probably Yahya.
I actually think you did, because I think you guys all laughed at me when I picked Harold Brock Mahler.
Harold Brock. Yeah, you're right. Also, Ja'Cory beat Anthony Artilona, but it was cool to see Artilona back wrestling. His two losses were to Brayton Lee and Ja'Cory. Anthony beat Yahya Thomas, Jaden Enriquez, Doug Zapf, Jaron Jensen. So a pretty solid day for Anthony Artilona, who Penn will be very excited to have back in their lineup next year, I'm sure.
Zapf is a Penn guy also, correct?
Yes.
I feel like he had a pretty solid turn. I don't remember who I saw him beat, but I feel like he had a pretty good tournament. He beat Ridge Lovett.
And
then John Milner. He's an NCAA qualifier, right?
And Jacob Berglund. He also beat him.
Is he an NCAA qualifier?
No, but he's not bad.
Okay.
So Zapf had a solid tournament. So yeah, Artilona being back is cool. I'm trying to think of other things, but I think that was pretty much 70. And then, of course, we already talked about the finals and Ja'Cory's mm-hmm. triumphant moment and decent backflip.
Everything was amazing.
Everything was amazing. Okay, 74. What stood out to you?
Dude, my bracket won't load on 70. Oh, it loaded finally. It wouldn't load on 74. No, I don't want to say anything stood out. And the Rob Monday matches, they weren't all that exciting. They're both, I don't want to say more defensive, but Rob's obviously got good positioning. Monday couldn't really open him up that much. I don't know.
Jalen Harper knocking off Danny Bronigal surprised me.
Yeah.
I don't know a ton about Harper, but then Harper got teched by Rob, who ended up winning the whole thing. Quincy Monday, solid tournament. Phil Conigliaro had some wins. Listen to this.
I would have probably picked Sedalte over him.
Absolutely. Phil Conigliaro beat Jared Jacques, Chase Saldate, Jared Jacques again, and Jalen Harper. Only losing to Quincy Monday.
And he's a Harvard guy.
Harvard.
So he didn't wrestle this year, unfortunately.
Negative. All these Ivy guys are just like so fired up to do some freestyle and actually wrestle. Yes.
Seriously, actually.
Well, even at the senior level, did you see Joey McKenna's tweet? Five of the 10 Pan Am champs are either from Ivy League or train at RTCs at Ivy.
Oh, okay. So, the more you know.
Ivy League on the come up.
Yes, indeed. There's no doubt about that. So Peyton Robb gets it done. Solid tournament for him. He's a good freestyler. Mm-hmm. 79. This is an interesting one.
Fun.
This is fun. I mean, Patrick Kennedy can't beat Mike O'Malley. apparently.
Yeah, it kind of got, I mean, I know maybe some people say he got freestyled.
Well, it is freestyle.
I understand, but he kind of got whooped.
Yeah. He didn't get freestyled in November.
I'm saying
he just got stuck in November.
Yeah. I'm saying to those that say he got freestyled, I know you're not saying. I'm saying that, well, that's the tournament they entered.
Yes. But he beat down Donnell on the back side. Yes.
That's an awesome win.
It wasn't competitive. I believe it was five takedowns and no turns. I think it was snap downs and high crotches, and that was about it.
Yeah, at the end of I have to imagine at the end of a tournament, the last thing you want to be doing is wrestling Patrick Kennedy.
Correct.
He just looks like the least fun guy, just a brutal hand fighter, very physical, going to be in your face for 6 minutes straight. Mm-hmm. So that's a really good win. I think if you're a Hawkeye fan, you remain very, very excited about the prospects of him starting potentially for Iowa. Yeah.
But the Labriola O'Malley series was, not so exciting.
Yeah, yeah. Labriola got it done. I mean, 2-2 and then 5-2. So, yeah, nothing super exciting there. But, you know, so if you're a Nebraska fan, you're excited to see Labriola continue to improve at freestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they still got Robbie and Labriola both on the team. So that's
good
for them.
Good job by the Huskers. Any other
nothing else there for me.
Notable things at 79? All right, then we'll go to 86. If I can get it to load here.
86. I think the story for me is Posman going from semis to sixth place, semi slide. And then Miles Wilson, who no one even considered him for a starting spot at Iowa this year. He's the champ. He beats Foca 2 out of 3. I guess those are, you know, the Foca won 19-8 in the middle, and then Wilson won another one for third place.
That was partially because Maximus Hailstorm upset Jack Jessen in the quarterfinals, was losing and then pinned him. And then
who is Maximus? I don't know who that guy is.
He wrestles for Penn.
Okay. And another one, huh?
Jessen is a much better freestyler than folkstyler, but I don't know if that's a huge, huge upset based on the folkstyle season Jessen had.
Yeah. But oh yeah, Jessen Tekvall Poznanski, though, on the backside.
Yeah.
That was a big surprise.
That's certainly notable. But yeah, Foca losing to Miles Wilson, I would not have predicted that. I mean, Foca's got wins over Max Dean and other really tough senior level guys. But yeah, Miles Wilson, you know, does he enter the conversation? I mean, where's Abe Assad?
Miles Wilson was 3-0 this year.
That's interesting.
Undefeated.
Yeah. And then before that, well, I guess he was 2-3. So he didn't even wrestle at all in 2020, but in 2019 he was 2-3.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll be in the mix at 84, along with, you know, Abe and Nelson, and who knows?
Yeah. You know, one thing I was thinking about is maybe a total tangent, so hopefully we get to the last couple of classes. You know, a lot of people are saying the transfer portal would help the bigger programs, and I'm sure in certain ways that it will. I feel like I was thinking this weekend, like someone like Miles Wilson's actually a great example.
Yeah.
Where he was not a huge recruit. he's probably on little to no scholarship.
True.
Right? And he goes and wins a tournament like this. And he could go, I think probably a lot of college athletes are going to be too scared to do this. But if he goes and puts himself in the portal, he could probably get some serious money the last couple of years of college paid for. But, you know, whereas Iowa's not going to get many, he's probably not going to start. So he might say, hey, Coach Brands, I'm a walk on. I'm going to go test the transfer portal because I don't want to pay for the last 2 years of college. What would they have to say against that? He's probably not going to start. They're not going to give him money very likely. Like, do you see what I'm saying? And so like another one would be Jalen Harper. Like, he's probably never going to see the light of day behind Voinovich and whoever else they bring in there.
Right. No, I think you'll see some of that. I do think you'll see I think you have seen some big power moves to the big programs. Jaden to Iowa, Max Dean to Penn State. So I think, but as far as depth guys go, I mean, I think it's wise for them to do that. However, a lot of them, you know, maybe they think like you think of like a Kassar type or Shakur Rashid. I remember we asked him about like, hey, did you ever think about transfer? He's like, no. He's like, my goal is to be a national champion. The best way for me to do that is to be training here. And if I start, I'm not the best in country if I don't start, essentially. But for someone like Miles Wilson, with the path to starting is not there. I don't know, but I think a lot of these guys.
And
it's not that
easy. Didn't Shakur start as a freshman? Spot start at 165.
Yeah, he did.
So and then Kassar spot started prior to his run at heavyweight a little bit also.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. Whereas, you know, and for someone like Miles, yeah, it's unlikely. But you haven't seen. I mean, the thing is, and I remember talking with Coach Bormet about this, and because they had a lot of, you know, depth guys that could definitely be starters elsewhere that don't leave. And so I talked to him about that, and I was like, well, how do you keep these guys when they could start elsewhere? He's like, if you invest in the guys, if you show that you value them and you work with them, and, you know, that you create an environment that they don't want to leave, right? And they're already in school there. So there's that. It's one, it's a complication to leave. You know, you've got not everything's going to transfer. It's extra work.
Change is hard.
And so I think that's a big part of it too. So a lot of these guys at these big programs that are very successful, that sort of environment is, you know, something that they don't necessarily want to leave, even if they wouldn't get to potentially start. But to your point, not everyone is going to see it that way.
Not even start. So I didn't even say start. I said go to the portal, see what the offers are. Right. Yeah. I know if the in-state college in Wisconsin's 25,000, out of state's 50-ish, right? Miles Wilson's out of state. So, you know, I don't know, maybe he got in-state somehow, but if you were to pay $100,000 for your last 2 years of college, Christian, or you could put your name in the portal and someone maybe makes you a good offer, or you go check something out, like, I don't know, as an older guy, because I definitely understand being a part of the team, you don't want to leave and you have roots and you've built that, you built friendships. Mm-hmm. But now you're saying $100,000 of debt, or, you know, even if it's 40, right?
Heck yeah.
That's a big thing. And those college kids, maybe they're not thinking that, but they kind of should be thinking of that.
Yeah, that is not an insignificant amount.
Some college kids also, even in years 2, 3, 4 of school, delusional confidence still, like, if you like transfer, you're saying like, no, I will not start. I cannot be the guy in front of me. Some guys have a hard time admitting that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not always this sport is not always for the pragmatic, you know. It's like it's not this sport is not practical. Okay. Want to move to 92? This was a very tough weight class.
Oh, this is sad.
Oh, it's sad. Okay. Tell me why you're sad, Ben.
The GOAT got whooped.
Oh, I know. He sure did. He sure did.
No, but this was probably, was this the best weight class of the tournament? I think it is, because, you know, you got Caffey, high-level college guy, Bonacorsi, NCAA finalist, Jake Woodley, All-American, Rocky Elam, All-American. I think this is probably the best weight class in the tournament.
Yes, it was super tough. And Darmstadt going 0-2 is crazy. There's two ironies. One, he got stepped over on the gut. The second irony is he lost to a Stanford kid right after that. So the Cornell guys didn't wrestle all particularly great. I'm sure that there's various reasons for that, and one of them being that, you know, everyone knew.
Maybe he was mad that Rob Cole left. And I remember one time in fifth grade, my dog died, and I wrestled really bad that day. I mean, I wasn't very good. I wasn't very good to start with, but it definitely.
Cole was in his corner, so maybe he did it to spite him.
He's like, "This is what you get." Yeah, but of course that's not real. That's a joke. But yeah, I think that's a little bit. And also, just Ben's style is not. I know he's a Fargo champ, but freestyle is sort of a weird mesh for his his skill set, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
yes.
Caffey's fifth, Jake Woodley sixth, Luke Stout seventh, eighth, and then you go to the
Sir. I guess I didn't realize Luke Serber was that good. He beat Caffey and Pinola.
I mentioned him in the show before that he yeah. I think he'll end up starting at Oklahoma State.
At
yeah.
What weight do you think he'll go?
97, because he's taking a bulk job on Ferrari, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Man. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good good fit for them.
And Bonacorsi taking out Elam. I mean, with Elam's freestyle credentials, that's a really nice result for Nino.
Yes. Yeah, I feel like this is the best way to tournament. The top four are... Well, the four that we mentioned, really good. Obviously, Luke Serber kind of surprised me, and Pinola, I guess he surprised me also. I think he would do that well.
Right.
97 was opposite of good. I called JIL winning, but it was not a very good weight class.
Yes, Virginia's own JILO got it done, won the title, and to Ben's point, not the most impressive field. He took out Sam Mitchell in the finals, 2.11 techs. So not a ton to discuss there. And then you go to 125, where Lucas Davison is just an enormous person now. He is fully...
So he was cutting a lot of weight to make 197, huh?
Apparently so, because he is...
Wildcat bulk job.
Wildcat bulk job. Tale as old as time. He's on that Conan Jennings diet. Greatness awaits.
He's doing the... opposite of who was their heavyweight like 6 years ago?
McMullen?
Yeah, McMullen.
Reverse McMullen.
McMullen is like 170 pounds
now. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how McMullen got so. He is a skinny person. But yeah, Davison actually took a match from Cassiope, which would never, ever predict ever in my life, ever, especially in freestyle. And you know, the. He pinned him in the first one, and then 13-5 in the third one. So Cassiope ultimately did
your classic pin to tech fall reversal of result, then 8-point win.
Yes,
snip snap scenario.
That is a snip snap scenario if there ever was one.
Snip snap.
Ben, I love when we say dumb things, and then you transfer to one of your like intelligent points. But you just repeat one of the dumb things that we say and then go on to your point. Snip, snap. But yeah, 197 looked very interesting. It's always my favorite, that segue you do.
I was going to say, what I was going to say was that another Cornell one who we think very highly of, who did not wrestle very well, was Luis Fernandez. Yes. I didn't even realize he was in a bracket until I was kind of just looking through here. And he went 1-2. I mean, obviously he lost to Zach Elam. That's good. But Connor Doucette is, you know, he's all right. But I really thought highly of Luis Fernandez. And I don't think he did good at – where else did he wrestle recently? He lost to a guy named Matt Cover, which I thought was the most funny name ever. But I don't know who that guy is. It's funny because that's what they use. UWW uses the Matt Covers, right? I thought that was a funny name. I don't know who that guy is, though.
Yes.
Was it U20s maybe or something? Or was it US Open? I don't know where it was.
I do not recall, Ben.
He wrestled at Juniors and took fourth place.
Dude, Juniors. He lost to Matt Cover.
So not the best. I mean, one, you know, for the Cornell gang, you know, you got Mike Gray there and Kyle Dake. Their two other coaches were in Guatemala this week. And then Rob Cole is, you know, in this crazy situation so where weird. He's... You know, he's coaching the team, but he's taking another job. It's just like sort of terrible timing. I'll just say unfortunate timing for Cornell and Coach. I'm sure Coach Cole thought it was terrible timing as well. Very stressful week, I'm sure, for him. Bracky just said that you could just see it in Cole's face. It like he was stressed out by what he was doing there. So I'm sure he seemed much better. To have, I think, that last week behind him. I can't wait to see who they hire, but also, who does Mike Gray go and bring in?
That's seriously, who does he bring in?
I don't know. Do they, who's some Cornell alums they could bring along? You know, you already mentioned basically, you know, like someone like Jordan Lean didn't make a lot of sense. Just given where he's already at in a good situation at Pitt, but or does he look? You know, people hire people they're close with or people they've developed strong relationships with. Yeah. That's typically who you see guys go after.
Yeah, I don't know who they're gonna bring in. So who actually coaches a Spartan Combat? Because some clubs have separate RTC coaches, but Cornell does not.
Gray, I believe, was doing a lot of the coaching.
So at Spartan Combat. But not a separate coach.
Right? No.
Yeah. That'll be interesting to see if they bring a separate coach for that also. Because a lot of, you know, like, say, Penn RTC, Brandon Slay, you know, is a separate entity or, you know, separate coach. Obviously, Kerry McCoy at Stanford, you know, a lot of college.
Dan Dennis, Hawkeye.
Yeah, a lot of them do it.
Yeah. No, so they don't have a dedicated. Mm-hmm. I say dedicated, but everyone knows what I mean when I say that.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was U23s. That's our team. Give him heck, boys.
I feel like Rob Cole is going to bring in someone that kind of blows our mind a little bit.
Yeah, dude. Are you teasing? Or?
I don't know. No, I literally don't know who it's going to be. That just, I feel like Rob Cole to Stanford blew my mind, but now I feel he's going to bring in someone else, snip snap, that is going to be like, whoa, I didn't see that one coming.
Who could he bring in? I was like, who could be on the short list? You know?
You have no idea. I don't have any idea either. But
it sounds like, you know, Bader asked him, he's like, hey, what's the status of Coach McCoy, Blake, Terrapelli? He made it sound like no. Or he did not indicate anything, which made me think
that they're all gone.
Well, McCoy would be interesting if he was to be gone because, yeah, I don't know. He seems like a guy that makes sense in that scenario.
And he just got there.
He just got there. So... Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I wonder who could he poach? Who could he go and bring in? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Nolf would be. I'm going Jason Nolf. Pick one. That's my first round draft pick.
That'd be your first choice.
Yes.
Penn State guy that can still roll in the room. And you know one thing. Now that you mention it, I remember when I was talking with Coach Blake about it, they're like, yeah, we need to invest. We need to get some partners for Shane because Shane is obviously the big man in that room. And who's pushing him? Well, you bring in Jason Nolf, and I dare say he'll be pushed.
Yes. So maybe Rob Cole goes all Penn State, and he goes Rutherford, Nolf, and Kassar. Steals them all.
that would be genius if he could pull that off.
Genius.
I mean, Zane. The thing is, it's interesting because we're just saying the names of really good wrestlers, and we just are assuming they'll be good coaches as well.
Oh, I bet they will.
Yeah, it would seem like they would be. And I think Chinzo is a good option as well. And I think it sounds like there's. You know, at least the Coach Cole at least has interest in that.
Yeah. Let's see, who else could he bring in? I mean, the Penn State thing, like we're talking about, you know, I brought up a handful of guys, but then the other problem is there's guys following, RBY, Nick Lee, like there's more guys that are going to churn out. Aaron Brooks, they're going to have to go somewhere.
Maybe
Rob Cole steals them all.
Do you think RBY will be the assistant coach for Coach Cole?
Not yet.
No?
That'd be the
ultimate pickup. If you got someone plucked them from a college lineup, it's like, you're done. You coach now. Technically, that could happen.
Wait, why? How?
I don't know. I mean,
no, because you need a degree.
You need a degree.
Yeah.
Listen, if these guys.
Nathan Traxler has 2 degrees and he's still wrestling.
He's got two. probably more educated than a lot of the D1 coaches.
Definitely.
All right. Do we want to go to questions and then peace out?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything else I want to talk about.
Okay. Got it. From Stringer's burner phone, is jiu-jitsu or grappling like bar league slow pitch softball for wrestling?
Yeah, kind of.
That's not the worst analogy.
Yeah. Well, everyone needs a hobby when they get old. Everyone needs a hobby. Everyone needs a little way. So jiu-jitsu is a great hobby. You get to stay in shape. You learn some new skills. Yeah, I don't see why not.
Yeah, you can do it. It's a I won't say it's a lifetime sport like tennis or golf, it can be if you do it with someone that is also is like not a kamikaze savage. Yeah.
I don't know how. Actually, Christian, I see very few I've been to a lot of jiu-jitsu schools. I see very few kamikaze savages. Somehow, jiu-jitsu has convinced their whole swath of people to kind of take it down a couple notches. And if you're trying to be highly competitive and you're, you know, say 25 and under ish, 30 and under, you need to pick it up a little bit. Actually, they don't go hard enough. They need to go a little harder. But for the lifetime of the sport, I tried doing like old man wrestling, and it's just too hard. They can't control themselves. It's impossible. And jiu-jitsu,
it's somehow.
It's true.
It is true.
You put two guys, and they say, hey, go wrestle. It doesn't matter if they haven't done it for 10 years. They're like a couple of freaking rams. Idiots.
You know,
idiots.
Sometimes you start off a little slow, but one thing leads to another. Next thing you know,
Bader can't do it. Punches. Bader can't do it.
I don't even go for shots. I just club people.
I'm like, Bader, listen, well, I'll say this. I freaking know how to do it. I can slow it down big time. Mike Mao can kind of do it.
Mike Mao can slow it down. He's annoying because he'll slow it down too much. And then speed it up real quick, and then slow it
down
a bit.
Don't change speeds on me, Mike.
Yeah, don't change.
Just Bader can't do it. He doesn't know how to do it.
He wrestles like he drives.
Four loco. But you know, Ben, you talk about like the jiu-jitsu, like being like, man, I've been to some no-gi practices. Those guys are idiots. And they're
really?
Oh, my gosh. No-gis, yeah, they go crazy.
You must be going to the wrong places, because I went to a lot of places, and I felt like it's almost always that, and I almost never did gi, right? It's almost always at that slower pace. Like, say like 85%.
Gi is slower. Yes.
I don't do gi. I don't do gi.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I would advise older people to do gi, though, because especially if you've never wrestled, it's just better to have those grips. But when you wrestled, you don't want to do a gi. It's weird to put that crap on.
No, it's gi's better.
Oh,
yeah, dude.
No way.
Nogi is basically wrestling without strangulation and arm breaking off.
That's what we want. That's what we want.
Okay, that's cool.
That's better.
Yeah, but it's harder. We're talking about the lifetime.
It's faster. It's definitely faster.
What I don't like about no-gi jiu-jitsu is I'll get a takedown and be like, good, takedown, next man in. But he doesn't know that's how we do it, and he chokes me before the next man comes in. So I'm like, what the hell? You, it's not fair. You choked me, but that's the sport, I guess.
That's garbage.
It is garbage, Ali. You know a rule that you're really going to hate? Jiu-jitsu changes rules a lot depending on which promotion you're in. There's some of these that – if you take them down, Ollie, and they turn to their knees, it's not a takedown. You don't get points for that. You got to put them on their back.
That's frustrating, man.
So dumb.
Yeah.
Right? So if they're in takedown, they just turn down, and there's no takedown.
Yeah, sort of a strange move. Okay, next cue. Any rumbling on where Nick Bouzakis goes or would fit in?
He's an excellent recruit, so he'd fit in pretty much anywhere.
Anywhere where good wrestlers are needed, he will fit in great.
Correct. As far as rumblings go, no, I haven't really heard anything. The dead period just ended, so I think he'll probably spend the next couple months or whatever taking visits before officially committing somewhere.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would assume a lot of the big guns are in contention. I know Ohio State is on his trail. Everyone, all the big guns, I think, are after both Bouzakis and Jesse Mendez. Now, them being similar size, maybe the teams will have to prioritize who they're going after. But yeah, I know Penn State's after Mendez for sure. Iowa's after Mendez. Would they also be after Bouzakis? You would think.
Yeah, you would think.
So I don't know.
They're at those weight classes where they can. You could have both of them
for
they
sure.
Could go, you know, 33, 41, 41, 49, those type of things.
Yeah, I feel like Bouzakis is going to get bigger. Mendez, he's been kind of around the same size for a couple years now.
Yeah,
so we'll but at the same time, it's also like, how much more bulk job can Bouzakis do?
Yeah, he's so diesel right now. That's a good point. I don't know. They probably said the same thing about Frank Molinaro when he was a 41.
That's true.
And then he was like a ginormous 49.
That is true.
Just go full G-Hulk on him. But there's not a lot of guys like Frank Molinaro either.
No.
Okay. So this guy, Chad, he's mad that Spey's not on, I guess, this show or FRI. He says, I think it's borderline hostile work environment. Consistent silence of Spey in the studio is deafening.
He clearly doesn't watch who's number one in the show.
Yes.
What is that guy, Spey's college roommate or something?
Yeah, come on, Chad. Also, Spey doesn't want to be on FRL. He does not want to do the early mornings. Okay? This guy wants to, he likes his sleep. He likes his mornings. And 3 days a week, you got to be here pretty dang early. So he would not want to do that. He would do it. He would spot start, you know, for us. Anything we asked of him, he would certainly do. Because he's a team player, but you know, this is and JD, what's wrong with JD? You know, JD yesterday at Bracky's going away dinner.
That was awesome.
But Ollie, you know what? You describe it.
We're sitting there having a beautiful dinner, having laughs, nostalgic memories, all good times, right? We actually just had a conversation because the server approached us. We're like, we're waiting for one more, but I did order a watermelon crawl. Shout out CP. We were sipping watermelon martinis.
That's right.
And then, so we're like, where's JD? All of a sudden, we hear a humming of an engine. We turn around, and JD's ripping in on his bike right next to the table into a parking spot. He hops off, wearing his Brett Favre, Kyle Bracky's favorite football player's jersey, mm-hmm. and the perfectly even pair of homemade sweatshorts that just below the jersey, so it kind of looked like a nightgown, as JD put mm-hmm. it. But it was such an electric entrance, killed it, set the whole vibe for the day.
But he took off the helmet, shook his hair out.
Uh-huh.
I was like, jeez.
Fluffed and feathered.
I mean, jeez, it was.
Now to make an entrance. It was an
epic entrance. I was like, I'm really sad we did not have that on camera. Okay, well, with that, I think it's time to go. Thank you guys so much.
We had a bunch of tacos today.
Oh yeah,
we got tacos.
Ben, thank you. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back on Thursday, the last FRL of the week.
Ben's so goofy.
Ben cannot wait to hang up.
He just can't, man.
He just goes lefty flex. Look at him.
Oh, yeah. Look at that bicep.
Popping. All right, thanks so much. We'll see you tomorrow. Happy Wednesday. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.